When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Spurs in full cry here.
Welcome, listeners, to The Extra Inch. My name's Windy, and I'm joined by my sidekick and best friend, Bardi. Hello, Bardi.
Hello, Windy.
And our tactics guy, and a man who's been paying money to get beaten up, is Nathan A. Clark. Hello, Nathan.
More people are. I listened to a different podcast that has Flav on it the other day, and when it was revealed, more people are into paying for such services than you might imagine.
Okay.
Good episodes of No Holds Barred.
Nice.
But no, that's a different service to the one that I paid for. I feel like I've now made that so, I've leaned so heavily into the implication there that I actually need to backtrack. I had a
No, we'll move on. we'll move on, Nathan. It's fine. We'll just leave it there. Firstly, I want to say a couple of congratulations. Congratulations, firstly, to Alfie and Hope on their engagement. Very, very happy news. And also to Josh, one of our ex-subs, who got engaged at Glastonbury to enormous cheers. That is a baller move, doing it at Glastonbury. Congratulations to you all. It seems like the time of year where people get engaged. And we don't have a paid partner this week. So once again, we've got a charitable partnership. A guy called Linton Ford hit me up. So Linton works or volunteers for a charity called Just Talk Today, which is a low-cost counselling service that you can do in person from Sudbury in Suffolk, or you can do it online. So it's kind of available to anyone. It's a great concept. They charge 20 quid for a counselling session, which is really, really cheap. And they're able to do that because they use trainee counsellors who are kind of in the last stages of their qualification. So this is kind of the last thing they have to do before they can be fully fledged counsellors. So at the moment, Linton is fundraising to help provide a subsidised fee long term so that everyone can access counselling whilst they can cover their business costs. We'll put the link to the GoFundMe in the show notes. But I mean, also, if you feel like you might need someone to talk to, look up Just Talk Today. It sounds like a really good concept to me. This is going to be a pretty tight pod, I think, a pretty short pod, because we're all a bit knackered. Bardi, you've been away on holiday and you've come back with a special little disease.
Yeah, I've come back with COVID. Not sure where I've tracked it, where I caught it. I'm trying to figure it out. I thought it might have been after the Extra Inch Discord meetup. I thought perhaps one of our listeners who turned up and was pretty ill might have infected me, but I don't think the timeline works. So I'm thinking I got infected on the plane, but I was in Tarifa, which is a lovely little seaside town in Spain, about 45 minutes from Gibraltar. It's got good food, good beach, very cheap. Great weather, and it was a lovely time there celebrating our 40th joint 40th birthdays with all my school friends.
Nice. It's really lovely that you're still so close with all your school friends. I feel like that's like not a particularly common thing. So well done to you, and your school friends are all really lovely. They're all great people.
They're all nice guys, and it was, you know, we're getting on a bit, so it wasn't as wild as perhaps it would have been one day, but it was. It was still some early starts and late finishes, which was lovely. Spanish man, they start eating at 10 o'clock, and that's kind of a big change for me because I normally get all my eating done by 7, and then I do my kind of intermittent fasting until 10 o'clock the next day. So it was a big change of culture there.
And you played some beach football,
beach volleyball. You know, all of us sucking our guts in to try and look attractive.
Fantastic. And Nathan, I really appreciated you joining me for the bonus episode that we released. We did a conversation with Abby and Rachel from the
N17 Women,
which is the new podcast about Spurs women, and they're doing great work. It's good. It's really good stuff. I mean, if you listen to the bonus episode, you'll have heard how deeply analytical they are about the Spurs women's team. So it's kind of like the extra inch for Spurs women, I would say.
Yeah.
Good on them. So Nathan, you got some happy news today. Spurs seem to be about to sign a set piece coach.
Yeah. A very well reputed one, an Italian one as well, nonetheless. Yeah, lots to be excited about there. So it's a little difficult, just based on the reporting, but it's a little difficult to pin down exactly when he is and where he is. What I'd like to do is dig into that and gather up some video bits from the relevant teams. Obviously, we know he's at the Italian national team for a certain period, and have a little look into that. But I mean, look, I mean, a set piece coach is a set piece coach, and if your team hire and utilize a set piece coach, you're just immediately in the like top 5 percentile of set piece teams.
Yes,
like, just straight away. So
yes,
I mean, this will be like oh cool, that's interesting kind of level on the fan radar, but this is the equivalent of signing a player who will put up like 10 to 20 goals in all competitions. So like this should be as exciting as Richarlison or whatever, but it won't be seen that way.
100%. And it's not just the direct free kicks, the set piece routines, although I'm a big, as we've spoken about many times before, I'm a big fan of a set piece routine, so I'm looking forward to those. But it's the little things as well. It's the goal kicks, it's the throw-ins, it's the stuff in your own half that really makes a difference.
Yeah, we will. So I don't know if he was at Brentford at the right time, but we will have a look at some Brentford and maybe some Liverpool throw-ins, I think, which aren't necessarily his again, but will probably give you an idea of the kind of stuff that you might see from throw-ins.
Awesome. So he was at Brentford, I think, 2015-16-ish. And during that time, it was highly notable that Brentford were doing bits from their set pieces. 27% of their goals came from dead balls at the time, in 2016, which was extraordinary. And someone who was at... So, yeah... Walter Zenger said of Gianni Vio, he isn't just a free kick wizard. He's like having a 15 or 20 goal striker in the team. A 20 goal a season player can get injured. He can get suspended. But there are set pieces in every game, always. And he knows how to exploit them best. He's very skilled at it. He manages to get players scoring who otherwise wouldn't score.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like Walter Zenger. He's a name that we don't say in our household. I remember once I kind of idolised him for a little bit, and I started playing football with like gold chains around me. And my dad just called me off the pitch, took him off me and said, no, you can't be like Walter Zenger. He cost us a World Cup. But I do remember Italy at the Euros were pretty good on their attacking free kicks. I mean, they scored against Wales from a really interesting free kick routine. They scored in the final from a corner. They had two further goals, I think, disallowed by VAR for slight offsides, but they did have a different. They did have a range of set pieces, and it was interesting. And if you know, sometimes you watch a team and you're like not concerned. It's an attacking corner, and you're like, yeah, this is going to be nothing. For Italy, it did feel like in that tournament there was something different with our set pieces. And then when it turns out after everything else, you hear about him like, okay, that makes sense. So if we can like get 4 or 5 extra goals from set pieces, then that could be worth 6, 7, 8 points. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I think 4 or 5 goals is conservative, to be honest. I think we could get a lot more than that. I'm really, 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 really excited about this. It's a step in the right direction.
We need to sign someone first who can take a free kick. I don't agree. Well, I don't think he's going to make Harry Kane start whipping him into the top corner.
No, but that's the point. Like, if anything, I believe there's a case that not having someone who is good from direct free kicks means that you get more license from your set piece coach to take more indirect free kicks from direct free kick positions, where the opposition have to set up to defend from the direct, therefore opening up the indirect. So I'm not worried about that. Anyone, like several of our, you know, elite professional footballers can accurately curl a ball for 30 yards. So I'm not worried about that at all. And I think also, like, going back to throw-ins, that really suits Conte's style of play, because if we can get something good going straight away from a throw-in, that is the beginning of a really good bit of Conte build-up and creating like an artificial transition and that sort of stuff.
100%. What you just said, Nathan, about the turning in a direct free kick into an indirect free kick, I think that is true. But also, I think there's something in the kind of authority angle as well. So, you know, Kane takes the direct free kicks because he's Harry Kane, because he has a huge presence in the squad. If you've got a new guy come in who is an absolute specialist, highly regarded, did bits with Italy in the Euros, he comes in and he makes every player take 10 free kicks, and he watches their technique, their style, how they're doing. And then he says, okay, so of you lot, I like, let's say, Ben Davis. I like Ben Davis as our free kick taker. You're not going to argue with, I mean, if your free kick coach has said, I want Ben Davis to take all your free kicks, Ben Davis is going to take all your free kicks from now on, as far as I'm concerned. Like, I don't think Harry Kane can trump
that.
Well,
I don't know. I think that might be taken to Conte, and then Conte will make a final call, to be honest.
Maybe, but then what's the point in employing him?
Sure. Yeah.
For throw-ins, I guess. But you know what
that
I mean.
It does smell of Roy Hodgson. Somebody advising Roy Hodgson that Harry Kane is the best long passer. Let's make Harry Kane take corners.
He played good corners, in my opinion.
They weren't bad corners, but he also needed to be on the end of them. That was the issue. Mm. And he's not fast enough to take a corner and then quickly run into the box and get on the end of it. So we got the news today that the Bissouma charges have been dropped, essentially. There's what's the phraseology they use, the police use?
He's no longer under investigation. There is an investigation, but he is no longer under it.
So that's good news, I think, that we have to see that as good news. And Spurs will think it's absolutely fantastic news from a PR perspective also. I wanted to kind of address some of the comments we received. We had a lot of correspondence on this. Some very thoughtful stuff to our email address, podcast@theextrange.co.uk. Some really thoughtful stuff on Discord, and some bad faith shit on Twitter, as you kind of expect from Twitter. But we got this email from Alex in Mexico, and I thought this was kind of a neat summary of the type of correspondence we got. So Alex says, back when we signed Bissouma, there was a fair bit of negativity on the signing because of the sexual assault speculation. Now that he's been cleared, is that negativity gone, and are you all excited about the player? To me, it seemed like you guys just assumed he did it on the pod, and were upset that the club put you in a position to have to accept him as a player because of this. Of course, this is a tough thing to prove, but for us outsiders looking in, it could have just been a case of mistaken identity, and clearly there wasn't even enough evidence to charge him in the end. I understand being woke and trying to look at things through an ethical lens, but isn't writing off Bissouma, who could be completely innocent, just as bad as blindly accepting Bissouma before he's cleared? In fact, one could argue it's even worse, as you're judging a person who's not even been charged with a crime or proven guilty. Anyway, tough question. Love the pod and you guys. Cheers. So my response to that is to listen again to what we said on the pod, listen to the words and try and not kind of add in what you think you're hearing, because we were very clear that we were not casting judgment on Bissouma. We didn't know whether he was innocent or guilty. And it was about the club signing a player who was under investigation for sexual assault, because whether he is guilty or innocent, whoever the player is, like, let's forget Bissouma for a second. It's about the message that sends, I think, to our fans and the people who work at the club. And that was my big issue with it. That was my biggest issue with it. I thought it was really, really inappropriate for us to sign Bissouma when we did. And if we were signing him next week, there's no way I'd have the same amount of vitriol about it. I'd still feel a little funny about it, sure, because this has happened. And like, he'll always have this tag attached to him now, rightly or wrongly. And that still is going to make survivors of sexual assault feel a bit weird when they're watching him play. But yeah, I mean, I would just generally feel a lot better about it. But that's not what happened. And I think we had to address it, because it was what we were feeling and thinking. And I feel like sometimes people get frustrated with us because they might really like our opinions on football, and then they don't like our opinions on social justice issues. And it's annoying when someone whose opinions you respect and like doesn't agree with you on other stuff. And you're like, I just want them to agree with me on everything. But it's fine to disagree. You know, you don't have to agree with us on everything. I don't agree with Bardi on everything. I don't agree with Nathan on everything. We still get along great. We're still really close friends. You know, I think it's fine. Anyway, I feel like I've spoken a lot there again about this issue. It's not something I really like talking about, because I know the pushback we get, but I felt like we had to address it. Did you guys want to say anything?
Yeah, well, I got a WhatsApp from my dad. So my dad doesn't listen to this podcast, but somebody he walks a dog with has figured out that's I'm his son.
Oh my goodness.
So I got a WhatsApp from my dad saying, I've been asked, why don't you just talk about football? And I think in this case, it needed to be discussed. Like you said, Windy, it had to be spoken about. We couldn't just brush it under the carpet. I think Bissouma's a fantastic player. I think this is a really, really good signing. And had we just waited 1 week for it to be cleared up, then I wouldn't have any problems. And I still don't have any problems, because he's a great signing. But I just wish we'd just waited one more week and been a little bit patient. But he's a good player who's going to do great things for us.
I mean, from the timing, it's pretty clear, right, that the club must have had some sort of tip-off that this is what was going to happen, and therefore they realised that they could sort of take financial advantage, right?
That's fucked up in itself, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
right?
that's kind of what I'm saying, is that is very uncomfortable that they are using the ongoing dangling of a case to take financial advantage. And maybe it's smart in a pure business sense, but it's really uncomfortable as a fan.
I meant also, though, that it's fucked up that they had a tip-off. That's corrupt.
Sure. Well, yes, sure, yes, of course. Yeah, I mean, yeah, may well be a mistaken identity or whatever. We won't know the details of the case until the remaining suspect has his end tied up, however that might be. So, again, we can only really speculate. Even with the charge drops, I still have some discomfort, right? Obviously, because we know the percentage of cases that lead to prosecution in this area, which again doesn't mean that I believe that he's guilty. It just means that doubt remains even with his charges dropped. And so it's a little difficult. Yeah, I don't know. There isn't too much more to say than that. He is obviously a very good player. But that can't affect like the moral judgment here, right?
I think I'd also add that the little interview he did when he arrived was really sweet. He seemed like a lovely person in that interview, and let's hope he is, and let's hope that, you know, there's nothing to worry about. But there's still a victim out there who will hopefully get their day in court, and it's really important that we think of them as well.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Richarlison. I say Richarlison. I think actually it should be pronounced Richarlison, if I'm correct.
Okay, well, if you want to do a Brazilian myself. R, it's more of a her.
So, yeah, that's right. Richarlison, yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna have to either retrain myself or just go Richarlison.
No, you just have to go with what everyone else. You can't be the one guy, the one English first fan trying to call him Richarlison. You don't want to be him. You've already got enough things going on, Windy.
This is a good point. So what do we know? What do we know about this deal? We know that Spurs have been after him for a while. We know that Daniel Levy took Bill Kenwright, the Everton... Is he still the chairman? I think he's still the chairman. Took him out for a nice meal at a restaurant called Scott's in London, presumably to discuss Richarlison and possibly Winks. And it seems like the deal is days away from being done, or perhaps a day away from being done, because Everton have this FFP deadline to meet as well. So Spurs once again taking advantage of a situation to get money off a deal.
Okay, in this case.
Yeah. They're completely legit. Absolutely legit. I feel like I'm not his biggest fan. I'm not going to say like he would have been my first choice target by any stretch. But I do like the fact that he can cover a number of roles pretty adequately. I like his hustle.
He's like, definitely got hustle.
He's got a lot of hustle. I like his shithousery. I feel like he's the kind of player that when he plays for you, you love him, and when he plays against you, you hate him. So I feel like as fans, we'll take to him super quickly. And I think it's a smart bit of business. What do you guys reckon?
I like it. Like you said, I like the fact that he can play everywhere, and he's very good at pressing. I think it's a smart signing if we get him for a good deal. He's Premier League proven. He won't need to settle in. I don't see a problem with it.
He scored a pretty impressive number of goals last season for a terrible Everton side who weren't good the entire time he's been at the club. I really quite fancied him as a sort of attacking, dribbly winger way back at Watford. I wasn't aware of him before that. But I figured, you know, he moved for 50 million, I think.
Mm-hmm. He did.
So like...
Pre-COVID, let's remember. So the prices were a little different.
Also Everton,
then.
Who love, they absolutely love spending money. Like Sigurdsson, Ashley Williams, Bolasie. They've really thrown...
Bolasie, oh my God.
I mean, they love nothing more than spending money, those guys.
Yeah, so I mean, he's impressed in difficult circumstances, right? I think if we were in a situation where what we're looking at here is we need someone to cover Son, we need someone to be Son's backup, yeah, he's the guy. He's a very, very good case for the guy. I still think that there are other cheaper, lesser known options out there who could do just as good a job. But yeah, he's exceptional in that regard. I really think he's a brilliant sort of wide forward. If we bring them in, and I think we are, to also be a guy who can play up top, I have some more doubts over his suitability to that role. Not because he can't, like, in terms of the geography of it to play central, right? But because I feel like he can't capture the role that is performed by Kane and the things that not just Kane, but what you want from your lone centre forward in a Antonio Conte system. Maybe if Kane is being rested, you play Son and Richarlison as a front two, and that's slightly closer to what he's looking for there in his front two. But I still see Richarlison as more of an in behind type player, a dribbler and an in behind type player, which is probably too close to what Son is, right? So I still feel that we would be lacking in the right profile to back up Kane. But what you do get with Richarlison, for the first time that Harry Kane has been at the club, or, you know, playing first team minutes, is there like a sufficiently big enough name to justify to Kane a reason for him to sit on the bench, which may be more important than the ability to link up midfield play, turn on the ball, play passes in behind, be a target in the box. So, I don't know. Again, my opinion, there are and were better options out there. I don't think he's a bad option. I think he's a good player. I think he's a good backup to Son. I think he's not a rounded forward for all options, all situations.
I think he's a good backup for Son and Kulusevski.
I'm not convinced of that.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think the sort of status is a really important part of it. The fact that we'll be paying
the fee,
a huge fee for a very well established player who plays regularly for Brazil. That's a big deal.
Could be their first choice number nine in the winter. Doesn't close the centre. If you say in the summer, people know what you mean. In Qatar.
It's also, in terms of status, we're going in and buying Everton's probably their best player. And that says...
I completely agree. I think it shows that we're a big deal now.
I can't remember the last time within an English club, anyway, we went in and signed someone's best player off another English team. Can't remember. I do have COVID, though. But I don't think it's happened.
Hey, Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So Rev and Viper CFK both asked whether we had any concerns about the team cohesion or squad dynamics because of the Romero and Richarlison kind of relationship, or the fact that there isn't a relationship there. Romero seemed to rub it in a lot after he put him on the floor. He put on Insta a picture of that challenge and seemed to be making a big deal of it. Obviously, one plays for Brazil, one plays for Argentina, so naturally there's a rivalry there. What do we make of that situation?
It's more than that, though, right? Romero and Richarlison don't just go around two-footing all Argentine and all Brazilian players.
It's personal.
Reverse, right? These two despise each other, and yet I am overcome with the sensation that the worst enemies make the best friends.
I mean, I wouldn't take it personally if Romero wiped me out. He's wiped out a lot of footballers in his life.
No. It was personal, though.
He wanted to get him.
No, he didn't want to get him. He won the ball. It was a clean tackle. He doesn't go in and Roy Keane someone and just end their career. It was a clean tackle. It was brutal, but it was
it's surgical. Not this one tackle. It's a lengthy history. This is how they play against each other internationally in previous games. This is a thing.
I still don't think it's
them,
hate. I still don't think it's hate. They're not going out.
It's like hyper competitiveness.
They're not studs up raking each other down the back of the legs or snapping Achilles. I think it's all right. I mean, when Barcelona and Real Madrid in the Guardiola and Mourinho era, those Spanish players were going at each other, but then they'd put on the national top and they'd be best of friends. Like Nathan says, I think it'll be okay. There'll be some Spurs admin will be loving it. There'll be a post or something saying best of friends now, hanging out. They'll be drinking. One will be drinking mate, and I don't know, what do the Brazilians drink? Caipirinha. So there'll be something. They'll be doing something nice and friendly. It'll be great, great social.
Great
social media content. One will show them how to samba. The other one will show them how to tango. We've got years and years of content.
That's good. Send them an email.
I should get a job.
I think it's a legitimate question, this one. I like, a lot of people have poo-pooed it and said, oh, don't be silly, it'll be fine. But I don't think it's like that straightforward. The thing is, Richarlison seems like a sweetheart off the pitch. All his social media stuff is really wholesome. It's really nice. Romero's like, he's quite an alpha, isn't he? I don't know. I hope they'll get on really well. I hope they'll just like instantly click and be friends. But when there's a Brazilian-Argentinian rivalry as well, I'm not 100% sure that I can say I believe that they will be the best of friends.
Messi and Neymar got on.
But they just...
And there was a real...
That's true. And they just got to play together at the end of the day. They don't have to be friends. Like, Salah and Mane famously did not get on at all. And yet, they were fantastic together. So
it's going to be three matches maximum into preseason. Richarlison's going to dive, a very obvious dive. A player's going to walk over the top of him and shout something in his face, and Romero's going to rush in and push him to the ground. So, I promise.
I would love to see
that. A few
that
years
happen.
Ago, I was at a restaurant and I got some ITK. And
here we go.
This guy, he is a football agent. And I was like, Scone, have you got any news or any kind of gossip? And he goes, yeah, I've heard a bit of gossip around Spurs. And he leant over to me and said, no one at Tottenham likes Son, and there's a real divide within the changing room. And that was at that moment that I realised, one, he was an idiot, and two, ITK just doesn't exist. But I was just thinking, it'll be fine. There won't be a rift in the changing room. They're professionals. And if there is, Conte, I mean, whatever beef they'll have, Conte will whack it out of them. He won't allow
it. Yeah, exactly. And this is the thing. I don't think it will notice, even if there is beef, ultimately. But hopefully everything will be fine and they'll be the best of friends. Because we have got a very harmonious squad, generally. So yeah, let's hope the Richarlison deal gets done, and we'll have another signing to celebrate. So Nathan, we've got a list of linked players. Do you want to run through the list and give a little bit of information on all of them, and Bardi and I can chip in here and there?
All right. Quick fire round. So Longley, close enough in pronunciation, I reckon. He's kind of a tricky one, right? So, okay, in terms of the basic profile, there's a question here about whether he can play central or left. The answer to that is yes. He's one of the very few players on the market who has a sufficient level of passivity and aggression and can change up between the two. He has the necessary ball carrying game, I feel, to play wide. He has the necessary short and long passing game, I think, to play central. Now you're all excited about him. The main problem with him is that he has given away penalties and red cards and passed the ball to the opposition in front of the goal at an astonishing rate the entire time that he's been at Barcelona, right? The consideration here is that isn't the player that he was at Sevilla, the one season he was there. He was really, really promising, really, really promising. Then he went to a bad team and became...
Awful.
Obviously, Barcelona are getting better and they still want to get rid of him, I guess. But maybe a change of scenery, maybe an arm around the shoulder from Conte and a really good cohesive team around him would maximize him. I'm not saying that wouldn't happen. I think that there is some possibility there. Barney's shaking his head, but yeah. I think it's a big gamble. I think you're really gambling, because the upside is high, the downside is obvious.
But if it's a loan, that's mitigating the gamble, surely.
Well, you're gambling the squad space and the fee of the loan and all of that sort of stuff. Yeah, I don't know. There are bigger gambles on the market. I thought Romero was an enormous gamble and he's paid off incredibly. Sometimes you have to take risks. He would definitely be a risk.
No, but you could see Romero knows how to defend this guy. No, forget about it, please. I don't want to see this happen.
I think that he is there as a backup. He's like the...
Sure.
The... Paratici fifth choice. So if choice is 1-4, don't come in, then we pull the trigger on Longley and give him a go for a season and see what happens.
All right. Bardi, help me pronounce his Colombian name, please.
He's Ecuadorian, but I think it's Hincapié.
Oh, shit.
it's Hincapié. Okay. It's got the accent over the E.
Fuck. Okay. Yeah, he is as well. God damn it. Okay, so he's playing the Leverkusen. He's played a mixture of centre-back and full-back, but he definitely looks like a centre-back, but the type of centre-back who could do a job at full-back, like as a ball player and a ball carrier, a really good ball carrier, actually. But he's sort of young and raw 20. And developing, okay, 20, which is really young for a centre-back. So he would be a prospective, like, Davies understudy. Like, Davies would probably be the starter for at least... half a season, depending on Hincapié's development. I think there's a lot of promise there. I think he's an exciting one. And, you know, going with Davies for a little while longer isn't the worst idea in the world. I'd like us to strive to improve our first 11, mm-hmm. This summer especially. But I don't hold it against anyone who wants to back up Davies rather than replace him. It's not the worst option. I prefer him to Longley. I think that's less of a gamble.
For sure. I'd rather sign this guy than Longley.
Okay, Estupiñán at Villarreal. He's a really good fullback, and he was on my list initially, my long list, not my long le, my long list. And he was one of the last players I removed, partly because I was looking at his backup at Villarreal, but that's beside the point. Mainly because I just kind of felt he profiles more like a fullback than a wingback. That's going to make it sound like he's this ultra defensive guy who doesn't attack. That's not what I mean. I mean that he has the profile of receiving the ball in fullback areas. He has the profile of covering the spaces that a fullback covers. He maybe doesn't quite have that sort of, maybe he's like more of an overlapper than a solo carrier. Does that kind of make sense? He's more of a one-two. Yeah, maybe. So I did cut him off the list in the end. But he's, you know, he's in the honourable mentions. He's a good player. And the reporting, I believe, is that Conte himself is specifically keen. And I say, yeah, sure, go ahead. I support you in that. If that's how you feel about that player, then great.
The only thing with this is one would have thought that we were done with left wing backs, having signed Perisic.
Yeah. I forgot that.
So it does seem slightly strange. And some of the reporting today suggests that Reguilon is not keen to leave as well.
Okay, so four left backs next season.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I guess it's someone who's there in case we do sell Reguilon and don't see Perisic as a left wing back, which would be insane, I think. Yeah, who knows? Continue.
You think there's a possibility that you get Perisic in and then you work out whether you're getting a left or a right sided player based on the market, and then Perisic fills the gap.
Maybe.
Anthony Gordon, we disagree on him.
Who's for, who's against? I don't know this.
So I like Gordon as a to-be-converted to wing-back option, whereas Windy likes Gordon as a winger, as a forward.
I do.
Mm. So I get the deciding vote here.
Okay, so the reason I feel like he converts well to wingback is because he is like a straight line athlete. Yeah, he not that he has like bad ball control, but he doesn't really have the sort of super neat and tidy tight areas type ball control. But he's really good on the sprints with the ball. He's got a good crossing game. He's an athlete. His defensive numbers are really impressive. It's worth saying that his defensive numbers are like in the aggression, in the pressing. And I think that there are reasonable doubts, like with any winger you're converting to wingback, about him moving to sort of covering space and being aware of runners in a deeper wingback position. But I kind of think this about a lot of wingers, to be fair. I think the maximal way for him to have his career is to be a wingback who's a really good attacker rather than just being a good winger.
Interesting. I really like Gordon. I think there was quite a lot of snobbery when the Gordon link came out, and people sort of suggesting why would we want Gordon? He's not that great. And so when Bardi said earlier that there was felt like something important happening with us taking Everton's best player in Richarlison, I kind of felt the same way about Gordon, because while Richarlison's clearly their best player and he's their Harry Kane essentially, Gordon's like their star boy, he's their gem. He's come up through the youth rank, he's from the local area. They absolutely love him. Lampard wants to sort of build the team around him. And it felt to me like Spurs were going, we can have him if we want. We've got enough
both
money. We can have both of them. We're going to play Champions League football. You might finish middle of the table. We have both your best players, thanks. I liked that. So Gordon, Nathan's right, he's a really good direct dribbler, excellent dribbler. But the things that I think make him more of a winger are, one, his ability to make the Son-esque run in behind, which I've seen signs of him improving at over time, particularly when he's played for England under-21s rather than Everton, who I think are an appalling football side. He makes really nicely timed runs for England. He does really well to stay on side, I think, in the same way Son does. And also, I like him when he comes off the wing. I like him when he comes inside and plays off a striker and sort of has short interplay. And he can find this little slideable passes into the channels. And I really like that idea. A bit like Kulusevski does from the right for us. So I like Gordon a lot. I mean, I'm not against signing him and playing him at wing back on occasions, but I think also he'd be a great option as a winger too. I'm not saying I want us to spend 50 million on Anthony Gordon. I think that would be crazy. Like, I'd rather us prioritise other positions for a start. But if we were to sell Bergwijn and Lucas, we could do a lot worse than getting Anthony Gordon in for the right price.
I mean, and there's a case for bringing him in and then having him training and then work out when and where you want to play him.
Definitely.
After that, right?
I mean, we could look at the positives. He's young and he's English. And then it kind of ends there, no? He looks very busy, but that's not always a good quality to have. He seems to run around a lot, but I don't see it. I mean, if he was a Spurs player, then I'd be okay with that. We could train him and see what happens. But to go and drop 30, 40 million on this guy is ridiculous. It's a lot of money.
40 would be crazy, yeah.
So it's not going to happen. They're not going to let him go. If he was one of our youth players, I'd be super excited about him. But no, I don't see it. Leave him there and see what happens. He's going to turn into the latest Dwight McNeil, and his career will fizz away. And yeah, that
we should sign Dwight McNeil.
We should sign Dwight McNeil. That's true.
He's good.
Give him a go on the right.
Yeah.
Okay. So these are three players who have been linked either softly or have now since been linked away. So Evan Ndicka, left centre back, super aggressive ball winner, outstanding in the air. We watched him together, Windy, because he was playing next to what's his name? The left wing back, help me out. Kostic.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, and he was doing a lot of Kostic's work for him. He was allowing Kostic be the stand around on the wing and just ping the ball about. And then Ndicka was doing a lot of the build up play, the ball progression, the winning the ball back, the work in that flank for him.
Mm-hmm.
Statistically, his passing game looks pretty bad, but anytime I watch him, it looks good. That's a mystery to be solved in video form, perhaps, if links get stronger. But I'll leave that as that for now. Any questions about him?
I quite like the way he moves. Like you said, I've only ever seen him in the Europa League campaign for Frankfurt. And you're right, he covered a lot behind Kostic. He gets around the pitch. He looks pretty decent. I wouldn't be...
Two-footed for a left centre-back.
Nathan, every time Bardi says, I like the way he moves, which, by the way, he says a lot, you do need to sort of edit in a clip of the song.
Do I say a lot?
Most of all, yeah. No questions. No further questions, okay. Your Honour. You can move on.
All right. Yao Felix, we've been linked to incredibly softly.
He's good.
He's incredible. He's absurd. So good. He's like an absolute mega talent. A winger forward, he is, I guess, is the best way. So
why would he come to Spurs? It would make no sense, would it?
If you're tired of Simeone ball and you want to receive the ball in the opposition half more than twice a game, maybe that's a harsh characterism of Atletico. He's this sort of mega wonder kid. So he moved from, was it Benfica to Atletico for like 150 million euros or something. He hasn't lived up to that. You might be shocked to learn. Developmental reasons, that being an absurd sum to chase after, the type of football that Simeone plays. Now, he's rapid and they're going to play on the counter, or they play on the counter a lot, therefore there's space for him to attack. Therefore, why doesn't he score 12 goals a game? But it does mean he's only getting the ball so much. Atletico, once they're a goal or two up, might not do that much more attacking for the rest of the game, right? But this last season just gone, he started to really hit kind of impressive numbers. Not kind of impressive numbers, sorry. He started to hit impressive numbers. These links are weird and surprising. Again, he did cost 150 million euros 3 years ago, so I don't know what Atletico would want on the return for
that,
him.
That would be 100% of our war chest, so...
Yeah, he cost an entire war chest. So, I don't know. I think these links seem comical, to be honest. And then the last one on the list, Rafinha, was previously linked to us and Arsenal and Chelsea, and now very strongly linked to Chelsea and not Arsenal. And our name is continuing to sort of blow about in the wind. He's really good. He's another winger forward type. It seems like we're going to pick one between Richarlison and Rafinha / other wide forwards. And Richarlison links are much stronger anyway, so that kind of works out. For me, Rafinha is more of a touchline guy than an inside guy.
Yeah.
So he doesn't make sense for any of the clubs that he's linked to.
Nice summary, Nathan. I want to give a mention to a player that I've spoken about many times before, and he's been linked with an Italian club, and I want to get Bardi's reaction to this. So Ben Brereton-Diaz is a player I like a lot as a wing forward / forward, and he is being strongly linked with Salernitana. Why? are they good, Bardi? Would that be a move that's worth, like, he's seen as an elite championship talent. I'm surprised a Premier League club hasn't snapped him up.
Yep.
Why would he be going to Salernitana?
Have they just been promoted to Salernitana? I think they might
They're in Serie A.
They might just come up. They're not an elite Italian club. Not really. I have no idea why he'd be linked there, but then I don't really know anything about Brenton Diaz.
He's Premier League ready, for sure. Oh, I mean, obviously, definitely. You know, yeah. He feels like a kind of a Brentford, West Ham kind of signing, you know?
He'd be brilliant at Brentford. That would be a hell of a front three if they signed him. And Bermo, Tony and Brereton Diaz would be a seriously strong. That's a definite survival in the Premier League front three, in my opinion.
So he's kind of like Son, but in the Championship.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's fair. I think he's maybe a bit better at playing the centre forward role than Son.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
A bit more physical presence.
Obviously, he's not as quick as Son. Son's lightning.
Who is?
Yeah, he's really good. I really like him.
Young. He's English Chilean.
Yeah. I like the way he moves.
I don't say that a lot.
Definitely do. You definitely do. Listeners, tweet Bardi, Bardi TEI, and say, I like the way you move. Nathan, when you were talking about Rafinha going to Chelsea,
yeah.
Ziyech presumably will be leaving Chelsea. Would he be quite a useful option for us on our right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. If you want someone who can be like Kulusevski,
yeah,
here's your guy.
I figured that would be a smart little bit of business.
Get Ziyech and Vio in, because he's got an absolute whippy of a left foot.
Hell
and
yeah.
That would just, Signor Whippy, that's his Vio's nickname. It would be incredible.
So the other young player that I wanted to give a quick mention was Alex Scott of Bristol City, who I've been talking about a lot in the Discord, because he's playing for England in the under-19 Euros in the same team as Bain Scarlett and Alfie Devine, and he, to me, looks one of the standout players. He doesn't always start, actually, but he's really mature for in terms of his decision-making. I mean, he's super mature for his age.
England are
really
going to win that tournament. Now, I thought France would kind of cruise it, but then they lost to Israel, and I thought then it would be... Well, I thought Italy might have a good chance, but England just edged them out. But then France losing to Israel was a bit of a shock. So I think you're warm.
We've got a really good chance. And the funny thing is, we've got five players who are playing up an age group, or up sometimes up two age groups. We could have picked a completely different squad and sort of been fine still. We've got a lot of depth at under-19 level. Devine is absolutely outstanding. He's a sensational player. And Carney Chakwemeka has been a fabulous performer in this tournament. I mean, he's a really talented central midfielder, and he's also really physically dominant, which certainly helps as well. But yeah, we're good basically from back to front. I think there's a lot of impressive players there. It's quite exciting. Yeah, I'm intrigued to see how the final goes. But Alex Scott, good player. Sign him, loan him back out. Real talent.
You've been listening to The Extra Inch. Thanks to Nathan A. Clark for production. Thanks to Bardi for being Italian. Thanks to Adam Gardner for the artwork. Thanks to David Lindmer for our intro music. You can find him on Twitter at Davey Shambles and his SoundCloud, E. Lindmer. Do check him out, he's great. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at The Extra Inch. Email us via podcast@theextrainch.co.uk and subscribe via your usual podcast platforms. And if you do enjoy the podcast, consider leaving us a rating and review. That would really help.